Okay, yeah, I'm going to be talking about UFOs and the Bible. Let me see. Now, I'm not real good with technology, so I'm not a big PowerPoint guy, so this is OJT right now. And it's kind of sad because at one time I was a little more into technology. In fact, a lot of people know this, but it was me and Al Gore that invented the Internet. But I got help from Nathan Michael Smith. He's my grandson, and he's like 10 years old, and he is teaching me PowerPoint and stuff and all, and it's really neat to be taught by, and humiliating to be taught by a 10-year-old. But whatever the case, his name is Nathan Michael Smith, and he's my grandson, so he's a great guy. I thought I'd talk about him. I wanted him to be Nathan Rocco Smith after my godfather, Rocco Menachino, but that didn't fly with my daughter and my son-in-law. I'm venting right now as I'm... but whatever the case, he helped me with this. If you want to research the issue, here's some authors that you could look into. Some scientists that studied it, Jacques Vallée and J. Allen Hynek. Their writings were primarily in the 70s. You have some New Age authors that can really mess with your head. I think it's good that we read not only Christian authors on the UFO movement, but also people coming at it from different angles. What's interesting about the New Agers when you read them and you find out the religious perspective that they have, you start seeing that there really is a religious side to this UFO phenomenon. But there's some of the New Age authors, Whitley Strieber, Brad Steiger, Eric von Daniken, that's the Chariot of the Gods guy, Zacharias Sitchin, and Alan Watts, just to name a few. This is a good... My grandson shows the photos. We didn't take these ourselves, so... And so you get a lot of really neat stuff. Most of them are phony, but they really... So it gives you something to look at. So I don't want you to think that... my grandson and I were out taking photos at night. But whatever the case, there's some really good Christian authors that I could recommend. I don't know if you have time to write this stuff down, but Michael Heiser, in fact, I think his website, he's got Michael S. Heiser, his middle initial is S. He's got some really interesting stuff. He's got some crazy stuff about ancient Jewish beliefs. He's got a PhD. He works with the Logos programming about the helping people to learn the languages, the biblical languages. He's got a PhD in Hebrew language and ancient Semitic languages. He wrote a novel called The Facade that's a real interesting. He shares his beliefs in this novel. So you got to kind of, I don't like novels myself, but as you go through, you can find, you know, and he'll tell you that all the documents he talks about are real documents. And things that he said happened. And I think Michael Heiser's onto some stuff because I think the UFO movement is actually, and I'll get to that later, but it's actually uglier than even a lot of Christian, thinkers, are proclaiming. William Alnor wrote UFOs in the New Age, and he showed he was connected with the Christian Research Institute when he wrote the book, wrote it back in the early 90s, and, he shows the connection between the UFO movement and the New Age movement and how now we're getting a lot of UFO cults. And, I mean, Scientology, the Raelians, Heaven's Gate cult, that's just to name a few. The list goes on and on. Hugh Ross is an old Earth creationist, but the work that he co-authored with Mark Clark and Ken Samples is a really good work, some interesting things there. It's called Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. And what's really good about Sample's contribution is showing kind of the New Age occultic side of the UFO phenomenon. Hugh Ross, what he does is he shows that it's so improbable that it's basically impossible. The numbers show it's impossible for life to spontaneously evolve from non-life without intelligent intervention on the planet Earth. It's that way anywhere else in the universe as well. And then he shows that even if you assume there's life on other planets, that maybe God created life on other planets and didn't tell us about it, he shows the impossibility of traveling from a distant planet and getting here to Earth. I think he uses real conservative figures and shows it would still take 23,000 years to arrive at Earth if we assumed the closest possible places where there might be a slim chance of planet-supporting life. Don't hold your breath on it. But even if he gives you that, it still takes 23,000 years for them to reach Earth. And it's really, we'll talk about some of his stuff there, but he shows the difficulty, even if there is life on other planets, how pretty much virtually impossible it would be for them to visit us here on the planet Earth. Mark Clark tries to show the cover-up, tries to deal with the government cover-up things. I think his section is the most wanting in that book because I think Michael Heiser's more onto it. There is a big government cover-up, and it's for several reasons. We'll talk about that a little later. But I think Christians in general need to be a little bit less trusting of our government leaders. They have done bad things. They are doing bad things. It goes on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, the people, you might be thinking, boy, France is anti-American. No, I'm not only as American as apple pie, I'm as American as Tommy Jefferson. And Tommy Jefferson and George Washington and Ben Franklin, they didn't trust their political leaders even after they kicked the British out of the country. They didn't even trust themselves when they were the leaders. So the Bible tells us submit to the governing authorities over and over again. But even more times than that, it tells us not to trust in the king, not to trust in the prince. Jesus knew it was in the heart of all men, so he didn't trust any of us. Yet we like to blindly trust one guy or one party, and I think that gets us in a lot of trouble. Gary Bates wrote an exceptional book called Alien Intrusion, and he pretty much covers just all the bases there. I think if you look at Gary Bates's work and Michael Heiser and you bounce them off each other, you have kind of the parameters of where Christian thinkers are on these issues. Some really, really interesting stuff. John Weldon, Clifford Wilson, Brooks Alexander, the Spiritual Counterfeits Project, their journal, they have dozens of articles throughout the years. They were on the cutting edge in the early 90s on the UFO phenomenon. And then Chuck Missler and Mark Eastman wrote an excellent book called Alien Encounters. So let me bring them up there. Those are just some authors that I would really, you know, recommend that you look into on the Christian side. However, if you do want to get deeper into it, don't just look at what the Christians are saying. Look at what the New Agers are saying. Actually, if you look at what the New Agers are saying, it's pretty much confirming what the Christians are saying. Only the New Agers are saying these aliens are actually spiritual entities, and then the New Agers say it's a good thing. Well, we agree they're spiritual entities, but it's a bad thing. So, but it is interesting to see what the other sides are saying on that. And okay. Oh yeah, this is a real important point here. I am not today trying to convince you that every time somebody thinks they see something, they really saw something that's otherworldly, and that's what it's all about. Researchers agree that about 95%, some go as high as 99%, can be explained through naturalistic means. Whether it's a Christian or an atheist who's writing the book, at least 95, some would say as high as 99. It's either a fraud, you know, some guy just threw a saucer in the air, a frisbee, took a photo, and is trying to fool us, and as gullible as Americans are, he fools like 80% of the population, whatever. Sometimes they're man-made crafts. You know, I mean, our government will lie to us sometimes when they shouldn't lie. Sometimes they're lying to us because they need to lie to us. If we know the latest cutting-edge technology, then that means Red China will know the latest cutting-edge technology. So sometimes they're experimenting with craft that we just don't have a need to know. And so these natural explanations would be about 95%. But then there's what are called the residual UFOs that remain unexplained, and there's about 5% of the sightings would be this. They go beyond mere physical explanation. This is the kind of stuff that the real diehard atheistic materialist who believes only matter exists, this is the stuff they have to try to deny. They have to say, well, maybe if we learn more about the laws of nature, we'll figure out that other 5%, because they don't want to acknowledge the supernatural realm, the spiritual realm. Okay? And so what we want to talk about is that 5%, the residual UFOs. This actually, I believe, was a real picture that was that sighting in Washington, D.C. was pretty crazy. Okay, those that are identified, sometimes they turn out to be meteorites. Sometimes just the planet Venus, either in the morning early in the evening. Sometimes military aircraft. Other times it's hoaxes, hydrogen balloons, and then swamp gas. Usually when I'm real mistaken about something, it's got something to do with gas. But, okay, the five types of UFO encounters, we all remember, you know, close encounters of the third kind and all this other stuff. You have first type are visual sightings at close range. So, you know, you see something in the sky, but it's not just like a faraway dot and all. Second, if it leaves some kind of physical effects on the ground, would be a close encounter of the second kind. Close encounter of the third kind would be close sightings of a UFO being. Okay. Sometimes I'll use the word alien, but I don't really believe aliens are aliens, because aliens implies they're from other planets. I don't hold to that view. So I'll just call it UFO being right now. Close encounters of the fourth kind, abduction by UFO beings. These people supposedly will be taken aboard crafts and experimented on. And then close encounters of the fifth kind is where not only was there like the abduction, but there's permanent physical harm, sometimes even death. We've had people who have actually died because of UFO phenomenon. So the interesting ones here that I would say is even the visual sightings at close range, sometimes we see the craft doing things that are physically impossible. They just violate the laws of nature. And so there's something beyond, something supernatural going on. And then the people who've been abducted can tell us actually what the Space Brothers, quote-unquote Space Brothers, have been telling us. This was an actual photo that was taken by, I think, Howie Mandel. I'm not sure. Here's one of the problems with that 5% that we can't just dismiss it. If we Christians put our heads in the sand and we just dismiss this stuff as phony baloney and all, this stuff is becoming more and more common. We spend too much time trying to impress the atheist, okay? Well, most Americans aren't listening to the atheist anymore, okay? I mean, we've gone from the 1960s Star Trek now to Star Wars and Unsolved Mysteries and X-Files, okay? Most Americans will grant you that this world is much stranger than it at first appears. And they're looking for answers about haunted houses, ghosts, demon possession, UFO sightings, Bigfoot. So if that sounds weird and you're just going to laugh about it and not study the scriptures and see what the scriptures say about these things and study what's going on with these things, we're going to be left without an answer. Hey, I believe atheism barely has a pulse today. Okay? I mean, we just got to wait another 10 or 20 years for the atheist professors to die out, and they're being replaced by New Age neo-pagan professors. Okay? So secular America is no longer secular. It's now neo-pagan. It's now New Age. And if we're going to just focus solely, that's why I like so much about the the young earth creationist organizations, they're not only they're continuing to refute atheism, but at the same time they're also recognizing we need to write books refuting some of these UFO beliefs and things of that sort. They're recognizing, there are a lot of people that are recognizing that it takes more than science to explain what's going on in the world. But we actually have professional airplane pilots that have, and you get, well, the guy's a flake. Who's going to believe the flake? Well, you fly in his plane, okay? So, I mean, you know, what pilot's going to want to make up these stories and risk losing his job? Because last I heard, they pay pilots pretty well. Astronauts from the Mercury flights, Gemini flights, and the Apollo flights, almost a very high percentage of them, almost all of these astronauts have come back reporting while in outer space unidentified flying objects. There's even been transmissions of these. And in fact, let me just give you a quote from a former astronaut, Colonel Gordon Cooper. He was a Mercury and Gemini astronaut. In his address to the United Nations in 1985, he said this: "I believe that these extraterrestrial vehicles and their crews are visiting this planet from other planets, which obviously are a little more technically advanced than we are here on Earth. For many years, I have lived with a secret and a secrecy imposed on all specialists and astronauts." So, and by the way, he's not the only scientist that came out of the closet on that issue. And the ones that do come out say that the reason why I haven't said anything about this for the last 20 years or so is because I was not allowed to. Okay, so it's hard to call these people liars. Even old Soviet cosmonauts were reporting UFO sightings, and then police officers as well. There's numerous police officers throughout the decades that have reported sightings, have followed the aircraft in their vehicles, and you know it's like we accept these people. We accept their trustworthiness in so many other areas. Why would we just reject what they're saying on that? Three proposed explanations. The first one here is skepticism, that everything is either it's a man-made craft, that, you know, that 95% really is the 100%, that there's no... Not only are there no life on other planets, but there's no supernatural realm. Everything can be explained scientifically. And that's the first type. That's a very weak explanation of the data, because that 5%, and but that 5%, we're talking thousands upon thousands of sightings, that 5% are just not that easy to dismiss. Okay? And so they're just basically, you know, for lack of a better phrase, I mean, they're just basically calling these astronauts, these pilots, people who've risked their reputation, had nothing to gain by it. They're just basically saying, well, those people are lying. I believe that 5% is nothing more than the other 95%. Then there's the extraterrestrial hypothesis that these are aliens from other planets. Okay? And I disagree with that, and we'll talk about that as we progress here. And the third explanation, which is the one I hold to, the supernatural explanation, it's the interdimensional view. And there are people who are not Christians who hold to this. In fact, there are people who are not even religious who hold to this, that whatever is going on, these entities are coming from a different dimension. Okay? I mean, you can track them sometimes on radar, but they just appear on the radar. The radar doesn't pick them up coming from far out, and then they just appear on the radar, okay? They just appear in the sky, and then they do all kinds of weird things, like spacecraft can change shapes. They can also, you can get three of them, and they can just blend into one, and then divide back into three, and then take off. They make 90-degree turns, traveling thousands of miles an hour, which violate the laws of physics, okay? These things are physically impossible, and so this is a non-physical reality, and it's very possibly religious in nature, especially when we get to the close encounters of the fourth kind, where you have the abductions, and these space brothers start sharing their message, they are very much concerned about Christianity, but every word out of their mouths is a denial of biblical Christianity. More on that later. Okay, the extraterrestrial view fails for several reasons. I'm waiting for the first one to pop up. Okay, you know, many people who hold the extraterrestrial view, they believe that life evolved on the planet Earth without intelligent design, and so that they believe life evolved on other planets without intelligent design. Let me tell you, it is so improbable that life would evolve from non-life. We're talking about a single-celled animal, let alone human beings. I mean, it's so many coincidences that basically when you hear 1 in 10, and they give you this huge number, basically what they're saying is it's impossible for life to evolve from non-life without intelligent intervention. And if that goes for the planet Earth, it's the same for planets anywhere else in the universe. The naturalistic explanation of life fails. You need intelligent design, an intelligent designer to go from the simple to the complex. Okay? The anthropic principle, it comes from the Greek word anthropos, for man. And it's basically scientists say when we look at the universe and we study the universe, it seems to indicate that the entire universe was fine-tuned to support human life on the planet Earth. Now, you change the chemical composition, not just in the solar system, you change the chemical composition slightly on the far ends of the universe and there would still be no life, no human life on the planet Earth. And so you have Hugh Ross states that there's 147 narrowly defined characteristics for a planet to support life. You have to have the right size moon with the right type of orbit, and then you've got to have the right type of star, the right size, the right distance, like our sun. You've got to have other planets in the right way protecting us from asteroids or whatever it may be. The chemical composition in our the Earth's atmosphere throughout the solar system, throughout the universe, the right rotation, proper distance, the list goes on and on and on. It just can't happen by chance. And so to argue that life just evolved without intelligent intervention on other planets is as difficult as saying the evolution of life occurred here on Earth without intelligent intervention. It's impossible here. It's impossible out there. Now, I will say this, though, if there is life on other planets, and I sincerely doubt it. The Bible does not speak on that issue. The Bible does not come out and say there is life on other planets or there isn't life on other planets. Okay? What we do know is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that every word of God is inspired by God, all scripture is inspired by God, and that through studying the scriptures, we can be adequately equipped for every good work. So if there is life on other planets, which I sincerely doubt, apparently we don't really have a need to know because God would have told us, okay? Okay, now, if we just assume, though, that there is life on other planets, there were some Christian thinkers, C.S. Lewis, Walter Martin, and now Michael Heiser, entertained the possibility that there's life on other planets, okay? Still, this would not explain UFO sightings. Even if we assume that there's life on other planets, those planets would be so far away in the universe that the problem of distance, they'd be hundreds of light years away. It would take, you know, thousands upon thousands of years to get here. When you increase speed, you increase danger, the velocity. It's a layman's description of that. I mean, Dr. Sherwin could give you more insight into this. Certainly, I was amazed at the illustration he was using here. But just to give you a real layman illustration, If you never seen the Boston Marathon where you got like thousands of people running and they just the streets are filled with people, and if I decided I want to go against the tide and I started walking in that direction, you know, what's the chances of avoiding everybody? I mean, they'd be running into me and stuff. So it would be really dumb for me to say, you know what, if I just increase my speed, then I've got a better chance of getting... No. When you increase the speed, you're increasing the danger of getting hit with all this stuff in space. So you have the problem of distance, the problem of velocity, the number of sightings. If this is all, we assume this is all coming from one civilization or just a couple civilizations, not only do they have to spend these thousands of years and somehow get here and somehow with that velocity and that advanced craft, they have to somehow avoid getting destroyed on the way over. Then they'd have to do it repeatedly. By the way, these reports are not new to the 20th century. Reports of intelligent beings visiting the planet Earth from somewhere else, riding crafts in the sky, that goes back to at least 1,000 years before Jesus walked the Earth. Okay? The only thing new about the 20th century UFO phenomenon, it was the first time we tried to explain them away as beings from other planets. In the ancient times, the Greeks called these visitors the gods. Okay? The word in the Greek was daimonios. Okay? Ancient Christians and ancient Jews says what they call the gods are actually evil spirits, fallen angels, so that's where we got our word demons from. Okay? So, I mean, the word demons goes way, way back. And it is talking about things similar to the UFO phenomenon. Some people say that, with a black hole would be like a funnel and anything gets captured in it, there's no escape, but maybe somehow two black holes could connect. And so, something could pass into this wormhole and jump from one point in space to another point and cut down on the travel time. This is probably, wormholes themselves are probably not possible. And whatever the case, nothing physical can travel, through, a wormhole. It wouldn't survive it, even if it were possible. So they're trying all these different ways to explain how life from other planets could get here to Earth. It's just not a possibility, okay? So what we're looking at now is the evidence for the supernatural explanation. Number one, there's no debris when they crash. Now, I'm assuming here that the Roswell crash wasn't a legitimate UFO type thing or... wasn't a supernatural thing or a thing from another planet. There are reports of some debris. I actually think that there is a government cover up there, but I lean in the direction. I think Michael Heiser, I think he has the view that our government has been doing experimenting on humans, sometimes deformed humans, and they need to cover up a lot of that stuff. And so Roswell might be related to that, but whatever the case, for the most part, it appears that there's no debris when they crash. Well, you'd expect if there's a crash to find debris. Sometimes we see it going down into the wood line, and we run out there, and there's nothing there. Again, as I mentioned earlier, there's the 90-degree turns at thousands of miles per hour violates the laws of physics. There's no sonic boom. It breaks when these things travel faster than the sound barrier. You don't get the sonic boom that should be there. They change shape and color. They appear and disappear at will. These are not characteristics of physical things. Yet they leave at the same time. They leave effects on dogs and cattle that are incredibly startled by things. The so-called aliens actually communicate now through telepathy, you know, from talking from one mind to another and channeling. Now we have some of the leaders in the UFO movement who have been supposedly abducted by aliens who now have aliens, supposed aliens, channeling messages through them, what we used to call spiritism, where the mediums would voluntarily allow a demon to possess them and speak through them. So the channeling of the New Age movement is also going on in these abduction cases, which leads me to believe that basically it appears that the crafts that they fly in and the entities themselves can manifest themselves physically, but they don't have to. They're coming from another dimension. They're coming from the spiritual dimension. They're spiritual beings. Okay? And any other explanation just does not really meet the data. Now, I don't believe that there's life on other planets, but I did mention there's at least three Christian thinkers who at least think it's possible. With these guys, C.S. Lewis, Walter Martin, and Michael S. Heiser, with these guys, it's not that they're... at least Heiser is a creationist. Doesn't have some kind of evolutionary axe to grind. He's just concerned that if it were ever verified that there's life on other planets, he wants to be prepared to come up with a response for that. He doesn't want us getting caught with our hands in the cookie jar and not being able to provide a response. Whatever the case, I disagree. I don't even think there's any life on other planets, but these three, even though they entertain the possibility, they would still probably agree that today's aliens are demonic, are evil spirit entities. So Dr. Heiser is not saying that the Space Brothers are from other planets. He thinks they're evil spirit entities. At the same time, he thinks that we should be open to the possibility of life on other planets. See, for me, my main problem with it, if you have physical beings on other planets, there might be a demonic deception someday where maybe demons will take on bodily form and take up residence on some planet. I don't know, but for human beings, it seems that the scriptures teach, like in Romans 8, that when mankind fell, all of nature, all of creation fell. Okay? So the whole physical universe is fallen. And, I mean, even the animals in the animal kingdom aren't exactly the way they ought to be because of man's fall. So, I mean, if you have physical life on other planets and they're intelligent beings, it would seem that if when we fell, then it would make them fall. And that wouldn't seem just. So I see a problem with that. Jesus became a man to die for our sins, okay? Jesus is not an alien. He's a real human being. He can trace, through the Virgin Mary, he can trace his line back to Adam. And you have to be able to trace yourself back to Adam to be a real human being. So I just see some problems, theological problems, with the idea that there's life on other planets. But I did want to mention those other thinkers. Now, government cover-up. Gary Bates' book is one of the best books written on the UFOs, is the alien intrusion. But I think his book, and I think the Hugh Ross samples, and I believe Clark book, I believe with both of them, see, what happens is they're saying, yeah, there was this big government cover-up, but the government's now come clean and explains that they don't believe and, you know, life on other planets, and they don't believe in any unexplainable things occurring and this and that. And the problem with that is if they lied before, they can lie again. And you're calling, like, for instance, with the Roswell incident, you're calling too many people liars who had no reason to lie. Just regular, hardworking people who said they saw debris. I mean, the government's explanation there, this was 1947, the government's explanation now, the latest explanation that Gary Bates and others have accepted is that it was a weather balloon, and that there might be some truth to that, but that the bodies were crash dummies. But now the Air Force openly acknowledges they didn't start using crash dummies until the early 1950s, that they did not use them before that point. So it seems like there were some kind of bodies that were out there, but and they weren't crash dummies. And Michael Heiser has done a lot of research about, you know, when we brought some German scientists who were scientists working for the Nazis, and there was a lot of testing being done on human beings, when they brought them over so that we could win the race to the hydrogen bomb, there's some evidence. And I think even President Clinton tried to appoint some guy, and they found out that he was part of some kind of project where they were doing some experimenting on humans or something. So, I mean, this is not a fairy tale type thing. See, well, one thing we got to get over is we have this idea, because we're free to vote in America, our leaders can be trusted, and America will never have a Nero or a Faro or a Hitler or a Stalin type leader. When my students say that, I tell them, I said, how did Hitler come to power? Hitler was elected. By the way, he was elected and at that time probably the most by the most educated people in all of the West. And they thought he was going to be good for the economy, and they elected an Adolf Hitler. We could do the same. We're not, America doesn't have an exemption. We're not immune to dictators, and we need to be very careful. Whatever the case, the government does need to hide military technology, so that was part of the cover-up. But also, in some of these government documents, it appears that they're acknowledging there's something out there more powerful than us. Like, even Ronald Reagan mentioned this in an address to the United Nations, that we would have to join together. If it's easy to get the quote and all, but we would have to join together if we were invaded by a superior force coming from another planet. But it seems that the government, there are documents that are authentic. Most of the documents that are presented are bogus. You got to do a lot of digging to find the authentic ones. But the government would also want to prevent mass hysteria. You know, they just want to come out, hey, you know, if these things decide to invade us, we don't stand a chance. Have a good night, everybody. You know, it's not going to happen. I'd also say don't close the book on Roswell. I think that you, Ross, book, the Gary Bates book are too quick to dismiss the many eyewitnesses who had no reason to lie. There's too many government contradictions, like saying that they were crash dummies, and then later on the Air Force admitting we didn't start using crash dummies till about 1952. And then the Majestic 12 document, documents a group of 12 geniuses who are basically a top secret organization committee started by the United States government to investigate UFO phenomenon. Well, the government recently revealed documents showing that was all fake. Okay, but Michael Heiser says they produced certain documents showing that they were fake, whereas there are a whole lot of other documents, and this stuff is just coming out now. There's a whole lot of other documents about the Majestic 12 that seem to be authentic, with dialogues with President Truman and President Eisenhower. So it does seem to, there does seem to be enough interest in the subject for the United States government to have a top secret program investigating the whole UFO movement. I mean, some of these documents even say, like, you know, President, basically saying in different words, President Kennedy's asking too many questions and he doesn't have a need to know. But Michael Heiser would be the guy to go to if you want to see more about this government cover-up, that it may be deeper than what Gary Bates and other ufologists have said. The UFO messages, what about the people who have actually had contact with these things? What are the messages? Well, there's deception. They just, number one, they cannot be trusted. I mean, originally these guys were saying, hey, we're from the moon. And then we scientifically showed there's no life on the moon. Oh, we're from Venus. Oh, we're from Mars. And now they're saying they're from other galaxies. So, you know, if they're lying about where they're coming from, why should they be trusted on anything else? They also physically and emotionally harm humans. Many humans are scarred for life because of their encounters with these entities. They proclaim the next stage of spiritual evolution of mankind. They've got they're into evolution, and they're into New Age type thinking. They say that mankind needs to listen to them to avoid a global catastrophe. Sometimes they tell us that these space brothers are our creators. God didn't create you. We created you. You're our experiment. They tell us that they're going to save us. Again, why should we trust them when we know that they've been lying on a regular basis? They teach reincarnation and Eastern religion. They basically teach New Age religion. This painting here, by the way, I covered it up. Let me see why. I actually went, first time I ever went backwards. There are paintings, medieval paintings of Jesus and Mary and things of that sort where they show UFO craft in the sky. So, I mean, that's just another indication that this is, whatever it is, it's not something new. Okay, some more information about the aspects of different aspects of their messages. They say there's going to be a coming new age of peace and enlightenment, that all religions lead to God. Their message is always anti-Christian. Jesus is demoted. He's not the Son of God who died on the cross to save us from our sins. He's one of many sons of God. Sometimes they say he's one of the space brothers. And then they deny absolute truth, and they deny absolute morality. Just briefly, you know, you can go to town on this. Denying absolute truth. There's no such thing as absolute truth. Well, if that's what the space brothers are telling us, what's wrong with that? Well, then what they're telling us can't be true if there's no absolute truth. It's self-refuting. The statement, there is no absolute truth, if that's true, it's an absolute truth. Therefore, it has to be false. Absolute truth must exist. Okay? There's no absolute morality. It's right for me, it's right for me, it doesn't have to be right for you, and vice versa. Let me tell you, everybody's a moral relativist. This is the way moral relativists, I wish they would just put it this plainly, because this is how they contradict themselves. Every time they open their mouths, they're contradicting themselves. You know, moral relativists say, there's no such thing as right and wrong. Therefore, you Christians are wrong for trying to teach your beliefs in the public schools. It's like, hold on, bud, wait a minute. If there's no such thing as right and wrong, Christians are never wrong. Stop yelling at us. Okay? Now, Christians condemn certain behavior as sinful. We're supposed to love the sinner, but hate the sin. That's consistent with our worldview. That's not consistent with a moral relativistic worldview. But that's what these space brothers are teaching us. Okay, so who are the space brothers? Their identity? Okay, they're in that 5%, you know, and especially in the, not all people who claim to have had been abducted, you know, are being truthful on it, but there are cases where there is a real entity that is powerful in intellect and in its ability to do things, yet is also non-physical, can manifest itself physically, but is basically non-physical or spiritual. They're evil and deceptive. They're very similar to the ancient accounts of the false gods, the Daimonios. Many abductees, by the way, have occultic backgrounds. Okay? So there's many of these abductees have been basically flirting with disaster to begin with and inviting this type of thing to occur. When you see some of the New Age experts, you know, on the Whitley Stribers and people like that, when they get interviewed in the background, there's almost always like a Buddha statue in the back and a crystal somewhere and all kinds of New Age paraphernalia. So my view is that these visitors are actually demons, fallen angels that are trying to deceive mankind and get us into more of an evolutionary New Age mindset rather than accepting the Christian worldview. Gary Bates has stated something that's very interesting. He cites several non-believing, non-Christian investigators who have said that Gary Bates says this is probably the most ignored factor of ufology today, is that the only known way to immediately stop an abduction is to invoke the name of Jesus. Okay? Now when you read about exorcisms in the Bible, where the apostles call on the name of Jesus, cast out demons in the name of Jesus, You know, what does this tell us? Now, what does the Bible have to say about UFOs? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that God's Word, okay, equips us for every good work. But when you look at the Bible has nothing to say about life on other planets. Okay? So I think right off the bat we need to understand if we had a need to know about life on other planets, God would have told us something about them, so apparently we don't need to know. So I mean, if there is life on other planets and if they somehow visited us someday, which I can't see either one of those scenarios being true, but just suppose, this is a hypothetical, if that occurred, then I would say, well, just test the messengers by their message. Are they exalting Jesus and acknowledging Him as God and Savior? Because if they're not, they're from the other side and rejected. And it's kind of irrelevant whether they're demons or from other planets. By the way, the Greek word for angel, angelos, all that means is messenger. That's all angel means is messenger. They're messengers from somewhere else. They come here. You test the spirits, John says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, because not all spirits are from God. And you test the messenger by the message. In Ephesians 6, 12, the Bible tells us that our battle is not really against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Though the Bible has very little to say, has nothing to say really about life on other planets. It has a lot to say about fallen angels, about demons. So the Bible saying is, demons play a big role in your life. If you don't believe that, they probably got you in the palm of their hand. Okay, they play a big role in your life, and we need to, we need to be aware of that and see what the scriptures teach us about the demonic realm. Now, Isaiah 8:19, Deuteronomy 18:9-12, these are two passages that warn us about staying away from occultic practices. All people should avoid occultic practices, but obviously, especially Christians. Let me say this. I do not believe demons can possess humans, but I believe Christians, they can possess humans, but I don't believe they can possess Christians, at the same time, they can really mess with us to a high degree. I remember as a new believer when I confronted a Satan worshiper, and he backed down face to face. When I went back to my room, I thought, wow, this is great. God gave me a great spiritual battle. I fasted before I confronted him and all. In the next 2 weeks, I couldn't even read the Bible. I started being tempted in ways I was not even tempted as a non-believer. I had no desire to pray. And then 2 weeks later, I woke up in the middle of the night hearing my voice in my head saying things about Satan that should only be said about the Lord Jesus Christ. I woke up in a cold sweat in this nightmare, but I felt happy about that because I knew what was going on. I dropped to my knees, said a little prayer, asked the Lord Jesus to rebuke any demons that were messing with me. My desire to study God's Word came back. These big mega temptations left. The next morning, I think it was Thompson, Lance Corporal Thompson came up to me and said, Corporal, they used to call me Corporal Furno. He said, Corporal Furno, so-and-so has been up in his room the last few weeks casting spells on you. And I told him, yeah, I said, I found out the hard way, but I found out last night. So basically what I'm saying, don't think because your Bible tells us when you get tempted, stand on the scriptures, quote the scriptures like the Lord Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4, except for two cases. There's two temptations where the Bible does not say, stand there and quote the scriptures. And that's immorality and idolatry. Flee immorality, flee idolatry. So we can't get overconfident, and we need to acknowledge that the only power we have over the supernatural realm, over the demonic realm, comes through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to go out in our own strength, the demons are gonna mess with us. They're gonna tear us up. We've got to go in the strength and the authority of the Lord Jesus. That's why some demons don't come out without prayer and fasting. One final note, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. We need to put on the full armor of God. Okay? And you don't just, you can pray the full armor of God on, but that's not enough. You got to actually put it on. You need the breastplate of righteousness. I mean, you need to apply. The Holy Spirit now indwells you if you're a believer. You have the power to say no to sin. You need to say yes to God and to say no to sin. You need to have the shield of faith. You need to have the belt of truth. You need to master the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? You need to be prepared to spread the gospel of peace at any given time. So basically, we need to regularly put on the full armor of God, because when everything's said and done, the UFO movement is really nothing new. It's the same demonic stuff that has been going on for millennia. I'm going to close in prayer, so if you just bow your heads right now. Father, in Jesus' precious name, I just pray that you would help us to not just study your word and get grounded into your word, but to find out about what's going on in our world today. And I pray that you would give us the wisdom to see through the lies of Satan and to know enough of your truth so we would not be vulnerable to the lies of the evil one, and help us to be able to give an answer for the hope that we have, the hope in Christ. Help us to defend the faith and to give answers even on subjects that tend to be weird subjects, subjects that most Christians maybe don't even want to deal with. Give us the patience and the diligence to do our homework on refuting the cults, defending Christianity, and even looking into some of these postmodern, new age, neo-pagan issues like the UFO phenomenon. We love you, Lord, and we just pray that you continue to guide us, guide our thinking, guide our actions, guide our words, and just equip us to be all that you called us to be, so that we may lead others to Christ, disciple them, and that we would be all you called us to be, so that we would be your people, and you would be our God. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.